Microsoft Build Recap.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host, for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using what the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And I'm doing a lot of online user group speaking still, several just in the past couple weeks. If you run a .NET or Azure-related user group, I'd love to give a presentation for you. Just reach out. My email address is Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, at clearmeasure.com, and with a hyphen in it, clear-measure.com. And our sponsor, ClearMeasure, makes this podcast happen. They are a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. So if they can help, please get in touch. And also, be sure to check out the new video show, Architect Tips. Now, today, we don't have a guest because I want to recap all of the amazing things that were announced at Microsoft Build. And there is a lot of things at Microsoft Build. It is the largest annual developer conference at Microsoft. And kudos for Microsoft for keeping the conference going and providing just so much educational content. It was good. And the presentations are amazing and they capture everything so that you can effectively watch them on demand. And so I'd highly encourage you to do that if you did not follow it this past week, whether it's with your smartphone while mowing the lawn or while driving, just put a session on. You can stream it straight to the phone. Most of the content can come through audio. And then for certain you know, deep dive demo-based things, you'll want to watch it on a computer or just cast it over to your TV. But there is just so much content there. You can go to mybuild.microsoft.com and watch all of those sessions on demand. And I just wanted to highlight some things. There's way too many things for me to possibly cram it into 30 minutes. But I'm just going to highlight some of the things that I think are impactful for people who are shipping custom software using the Microsoft platform. And of course, I mean, there's so much. There's, you know, there's telephony things that they do and Microsoft Teams and all that stuff that I'm not going to talk here. But really, for the .NET developer who's running software in the cloud and using Visual Studio and setting up highly automated and efficient DevOps environments for themselves so that their team can move fast and ship quality. Those are the things that I've cherry picked out because I think they're really interesting for this audience. And so let me just go through them. We'll go through a few Azure things. So there is now an on-premises option where you can run app service, functions, logic apps, API management, and event grid, and some other things. And it's through a capability called Azure Arc. And that's enabling a configuration where if you have already, you have to have this, an on-premises Kubernetes cluster, then you can install and run some of the Azure services in your own data center. This is interesting because there's a lot of organizations who've invested in data centers of their own, but the development tools and developer experience to deploy and operate and monitor things in your own data center is basically managing your own virtual machines or putting things in containers. And so just the development and deployment and runtime model of Azure is you know, light years ahead. And so being able to use that on your own hardware is pretty interesting. Also, .NET 6 Preview 4 is now available. You know, .NET 6 has previously been announced that it's going to come out at the end of this year, along with Visual Studio 2022, a brand new Visual Studio, one that also runs native on 64-bit. And the Preview 4 of .NET 6 is now available. I've interviewed several people in the weeks past who have kind of commented on .NET 6 and specifically some of the things like MAUI. And they've said, hey, play around with it now. Don't try to go to production just yet. It's not production stable where you want to make a bet on a preview for, but definitely start learning and start doing some of the samples. So there's a lot of parts to that. Let me just go through a few of them that have sessions here. There were sessions on .NET MAUI. Now MAUI stands for Multi-Platform App UI. M, multi-platform for the M, A is app, and then UI is UI. And of course, MAUI is an island in Hawaii. But it's for developers to build native apps for Windows, Mac, iPhones, Android phones with a single code base, like an absolutely single C# code base with XAML as well. And this stands on the shoulders of Xamarin, but is built into .NET now, fully integrated. And it's coming out for GA later this year, expected this fall with VS 2022. Also, there were sessions about Blazor, and Blazor hybrid apps were demoed. These are Blazor apps deployed as desktop apps so that they can take advantage of the native device capabilities on a phone or a tablet, and not just inside a browser sandbox where they really can't call those APIs that are native to the operating system. There was also a session that talked about ARM64 processor support for WinForms and WPF applications, which previously have only been x86. Running on Intel-based computers. And so now your existing WinForms and WPF applications, there's things that are coming out very soon where you'll be able to port those over and run them on Windows computers that are ARM64, which is also some other Windows announcements. There's more announcements around performance. .NET 5, and a lot of people probably don't know this, it's really exciting, .NET 5 is now the fastest mainstream development environment. And this has been a long time coming. Other languages such as Go and others, those communities have criticized .NET and C# because of some performance stats, and I think rightly so at the time. But now .NET is the king of the hill, faster than all other languages and platforms. So that's really exciting because, I'm sure you have heard some other languages suggested, oh, that one's the fastest or that one's faster. Well, guess what? Now you're C#. It is the fastest. So that's pretty cool. Another announcement, Visual Studio 2019 version 16.10 is now GA released. There's lots of small enhancements, especially built-in Git tooling. And I personally don't use Tortoise SVN or SourceTree that much anymore, or Tortoise Git, because the Visual Studio tooling is so good now. So that's out. And also, as an aside, not a build announcement, but JetBrains Resharper also has a new version to keep pace, and it has enhancements and fixes to Blazor WebAssembly debugging. So that's really important. When you upgrade to the new Visual Studio, make sure to go grab that new Resharper, because there were some issues with Blazor WebAssembly debugging that are fixed in the latest Resharper. You can check out Richard Lander's write-up around all of the .NET 6 announcements, and that's linked in the show notes on his blog on devblogs.microsoft.com. I'm going to talk about some of the announcements to Power Platform, which is starting to get interesting for professional developers. Originally released as for what they call citizen developers, but there's actually some announcements that are coming out that are really interesting for professional developers. And so the Power Platform group had some sessions for enhancements that improve that professional developer experience across Power Apps, Logic Apps, and Power BI. And early since their launch, the features kind of had been aimed at business and Excel users. And Microsoft, you hear them all the time, they're calling these citizen developers, to kind of coining a term there. But the Power Platform is moving at a pretty big clip, and I think that the vision is interesting. Back in 2013, Microsoft came out with a technology that preceded Power Platform. It was called LightSwitch, and initially it supported browser plugins with Silverlight, which it went the way of the Dodo, along with Adobe Flash and ActiveX and other plugins for browsers that could effectively reach deep into the operating system. But LightSwitch also had an HTML5 and JavaScript version. And I released an application on the HTML5 light switch, and the speed of delivery was insane. It was just a visual, it was just another Visual Studio project type. So if you have Visual Studio 2013 or 2015, you can play around with it now. It's still there. It was kind of removed in the later Visual Studio, but it's just a product type, and so you can still use it. And it uses a kind of descriptive internal object model, Entity Framework, and SQL Server, and it generated most of the screens from your model descriptions. And the team has since disbanded, and the vision for Power Platform began out of that team. And the vision that is, it's that by describing the model and behavior, many screens in an application are boilerplate and pretty much standardized. So why should a developer have to write all the code for every screen when so many of them are made up by grids and input fields and dropdowns, et cetera? So Power Platform is aimed at this, and they're improving the development environment all the time. In my opinion, there's a long way to go to have a productive and high quality DevOps environment for these types of apps. So I'm kind of in a wait and see mode on a lot of those things and just kind of playing around every now and then. We all know that once applications get larger, bugs start to accumulate and they become harder to find. If the application isn't constantly tested and stressed and monitored, but you should definitely keep an eye on Power Platform as a professional developer. And now, if you do have teams that do create Excel templates or Excel workbooks with all these formulas and everything, then that is the population that Power Platform is targeting right now, where you have somebody with they're not in the development group, but they're on the business side. They could create little apps that access data sources that you already have, or maybe have a little data entry screen that call a web service in one of your custom software systems. And so you can empower them to do it. And Power Platform, I think, has some really interesting things there. Teams that I advise are already integrating parts of Power Platform with custom applications. For example, one of the really useful scenarios is a logic app triggering something that is dropped into blob storage and then calling a web service in your custom application with the ID of the blob. That is trivial to create. I mean, that can be created in like 5 minutes in logic apps, and then you have a web service which is called, whereas it would be, a bigger effort to add an additional service or job or Azure function or web job that's, monitoring a blob storage and triggering off of it. So check out all the sessions on Power Platform just to keep yourself abreast with what's going on there. And that's pretty interesting.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
Now, in Azure, there's something called Bicep, which is now available, Azure Bicep. And it is aimed to improve the process that ARM templates currently control, which is creating and modifying Azure services. Now, Bicep, and I hope you get the joke as it relates to ARM, essentially ARM, Bicep and ARM. Bicep allows you to use just code to author Azure resource management. With regular code, you can leverage type safety and code reuse, which really is hard in the current ARM structure. It is in version 0.4, so there's much more to come. But if you're struggling right now with ARM templates, Terraform, or Pulumi, then you might check out Azure Bicep. Also, Azure Monitor continues to make progress. There were sessions on that, lots of small improvements. So go check out those session recordings. I personally love using parts of Azure Monitor. I haven't used all of it. There seems like they're making it so large. But Application Insights is just so useful, and it's drop dead easy to use. So Azure Monitor is keeping moving. Now, Windows has a lot of rumblings. There were in Satya Nadella's keynote talk, he kind of alluded to, and a lot of people are reading into what this means. They're reading into his statements about new and interesting things coming in Windows, and they're speculating that an all new Windows may come about. But I think there's enough happening where we know that new Windows has to come out. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But they did announce that Microsoft Edge has been continually shipping in some interesting things with Microsoft Edge. Within the last year, by the way, on Edge, I've moved my default browser to Edge just because it literally does everything Chrome does and now more. And I noticed that it is faster and less of a resource hog. It's noticeable. I just don't want Chrome running on my computer anymore because it just sucks up all the resources. But Microsoft is releasing Edge version 91 and is touting that it will be the best performing browser that's available that runs on Windows. So that's great. That's great because we want a high performance browser, and it's great competition in the marketplace. Edge also sleeps browser tabs to save battery life on laptops. So that's interesting. And Edge does use Google's Chromium project, and it's submitting pull requests. So some of these enhancements will likely end up in Google Chrome as well, and then both of them will be made better. Also, there's an Edge WebView 2 control in the WinUI library. So now for Win32 apps, WPF apps, WinForms apps, you can embed the latest web control and then host really complex web applications, including Blazor WebAssembly, in order to start mixing more web-enabled and server-deployed applications with your existing desktop apps. So that's exciting. That's a way to kind of spruce up existing and even older desktop applications with parts of the screen and capabilities that effectively are URL deployed and run through more fast-paced development pipelines. Also, the Microsoft Store will start selling the Snapdragon Development Kit, and this is an AR, and I know we have term overloading, an ARM-based PC, which is not Azure Resource Manager, but it's an ARM-based PC for that type of processor chip, so that developers can design and port applications to run on ARM64 chipsets. So that's pretty cool. You can get a kind of a scaled down computer for development purposes without having to buy a full on workstation that's ARM64. Also, Windows Subsystem for Linux now supports GUI apps, and so that's exciting. We're fast approaching a complete Linux capability inside Windows, and that used to be only available for Mac since Mac OS is based on Unix. So if you haven't tried out Windows Subsystem for Linux, or if you have Linux apps, or if you're developing .NET 5 or .NET Core applications where you'd like them to run on Linux servers, well, now you can do full-on testing on your own computer. So that's cool. Also, Windows Terminal 1.9 preview is out. And if you aren't using Terminal, you don't know what you're missing. It fixes so many things with command line shell and even the PowerShell. It's like the best of both combined. So those are the announcements I wanted to highlight. Now, there's a couple sessions that you're going to be looking through the session catalog and watching the ones that jump out to you. But there were just a couple that I wanted to mention so that you can make sure to hit them, sessions you'll want to prioritize. And by the way, if you saw other sessions that you think should be in this list, please email me and let me know some other awesome sessions because there's just so much. It's going to take me a while to actually go back and because there's so many sessions that run in parallel, even if you reserved 3 days and just kind of attended in person, watching them all day, every day, that's just too much. So one of the sessions that I always search out is Scott Guthrie Unplugged. And this is where Scott Guthrie takes raw questions and talks about Azure and development product visions. And he really is the visionary that has taken Azure to what it is now. For those who haven't been in the industry for that long, Scott Guthrie used to be a program manager on the ASP.NET team. And he effectively created the vision that became ASP.NET MVC. He rolled out just a prototype he jammed together on an airplane in 2007. And then they staffed a small team at Microsoft. And lo and behold, it became the new normal type of web application for a good number of years. And it also became the basis for a new type of web service. When at the time, WCF web services were out, ASMX web services with SOAP were out, and people were learning for a simplified model that was also testable. So he was a visionary for that, and then he got promoted into vice president and corporate vice president roles, and then he took over all of Azure. And so he's one of the top executives now at Microsoft, but he came directly from the web team at Microsoft. And so when it comes to the visionary for how professional developers need to be doing their job, he just has a tremendously brilliant mind. And so anytime that he's doing any public speaking, I search that out, and I encourage you guys to do that as well. Another session by Scott Hunter is The Future of Modern Web Development with .NET. Now, Scott Hunter is the program manager kind of over the whole of .NET. And so if it has to do with .NET and how .NET is done, then Scott Hunter, he's right there. He's right there pushing the train forward. And then the third one that I wanted to highlight was by Jeff Fritz. And the title is Build Your First Web App with Blazor and WebAssembly. And Jeff Fritz does tons of live streaming, and he does just codes in front of people all the time. So if you don't watch his channel, search him out on Twitch. And he's talking about Blazor and WebAssembly. Blazor came out its first year with the server-side Blazor, and then WebAssembly came thereafter. I think that Blazor WebAssembly is going to be the new normal type of .NET web application because it is launched via a URL, it is deployed to a server, yet it runs with the CPU and the memory of the client computer. And so that's kind of my prediction. There's always a type of .NET application which tends to be 80% of .NET development. I predict that for .NET applications that are created in the 2020s, I predict that Blazor WebAssembly is going to be the normal. It's going to be the most popular. It's going to be the new normal type of .NET application. When you say, "Oh, I'm developing a new application," you're just going to assume that it's Blazor WebAssembly, unless they say it's something else. That's a prediction that I have. We'll see in a number of years whether that starts to pan out. But that is all for the Microsoft Build Recap. Again, you can go to mybuild.microsoft.com and check out all of the sessions. And I highly encourage you to do that and put Microsoft Build on your list of conferences to attend next year in person. So that's a lot of information, but that's just a teaser so that you guys can go and follow up for yourself. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.